I think the issue of whether or not pursuing new knowledge is good or bad or neutral is one that has a long history. In literature, we see that beginning with the myth of Prometheus bringing fire to man, then receiving punishment of the gods. And we continue to see that conflict between science, technology, and religion, even today when we see the debates between creation science and evolution. But you're studying the story of Faustus, but we also see the conflict between science and religion in the stories of, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or Dr. Frankenstein, where mankind is playing with forbidden knowledge. In the case of Dr. Frankenstein, you see man playing God, trying to make new life. And that seems to me awfully similar to what's going on with stem cell research today. Issues relating to abortion, where technology is butting up against our religious and metaphysical beliefs about what life is and how we define life. And so these concerns have predominantly come out of the humanities in these stories and in many others. But in the sciences, in my discipline of psychology, in the social sciences and the physical sciences, we tend to consider knowledge as a good thing and the exploration as an intrinsic good. At the very least, we think that knowledge is neutral. For instance, in the case of the atomic bomb, the knowledge of splitting the atom was a knowledge that we pursued for its own purpose. But obviously, technology can then take that knowledge and turn it into something good, like nuclear fuel. But it also can lead to the atrocities at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So the ethics for the scientists come in at the level of application of knowledge, rather than at the pursuit. The pursuit of knowledge is considered to be a good thing. Historically, the clash between science and religion is something I've been thinking about for a long time, and I have my students think a lot about. The prototypical case of this is the story of Galileo, where Galileo invents the telescope, and he trains his telescope upon the planet Jupiter, and he sees surrounding Jupiter and orbiting around Jupiter four moons. And this flew in the face of the Ptolemaic system of how the universe and the solar system was constructed, because according to the view of the church and the early Greeks, the earth was at the center of the universe and everything revolved around the earth. And this had also a bit of an egocentric bias, where mankind was seen as the pinnacle or the apex of creation. But with these moons not orbiting earth, but rather orbiting Jupiter, Galileo's faith in that dogma began to be eroded, and he began writing a series of books where he argued for what has been called the Copernican worldview. Ultimately, Galileo falls afoul of the Inquisition and is tried for heresy. And in one of the famous episodes in the debate between science and religion, there's this image of Galileo kneeling before the Inquisition, being made to recant, and then being placed on house arrest for the rest of his life for bowing to his observation. In many ways, this myth of Galileo, which is based on historical fact, it became kind of a rallying cry throughout the Enlightenment and still to this day about how religion and superstition and dogma should not encroach upon the domain of science, that we should just trust our observation and trust our naked reasoning to find the truth. And that is set up of one debate after another. It seems like the cosmological debate about how the universe is constructed seems to be pretty settled down, although people still wonder about Big Bang cosmology and its relation to the creation of the world. We mostly see the conflict between science and religion in our day in the debate between creation and evolution. We do know that the Catholic Church, a few years ago, actually accepted evolution as an accurate account for the creation of man, but they argue for an ontological discontinuity, that at some point in the evolutionary record, God inserts a soul into this evolving creature that we know as man, and therefore they try to reconcile their religious values as well as the evolutionary science. I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but clearly we see religion and science trying to reach a peace in that regard. I actually think as a psychologist there's one more challenge out there, past the cosmological challenge, past the evolutionary challenge. I really think there's a challenge that we're now facing with neuroscience, as we see more and more brain scans and PET scans on TV, we're slowly beginning to realize that the brain might be all there is, and that flies in the face of metaphysical beliefs that there is a soul. Where is the soul, and where is it located? And so I think there's one more challenge that faces us. Once we get past the Darwinian one, we're going to have to ask ourselves about how brain science is going to and genetics is going to affect our view of man. I'd like to finally conclude with just a brief statement that even in my discipline, some people contend that certain areas of knowledge just should not be explored. For instance, we do a lot of gender difference research or research into different ethnic groups. And some people suggest that that research shouldn't even be conducted, because once we find out that there might be a difference between the genders or differences between ethnic groups, that that knowledge might provide a source of racism or sexism, and so therefore shouldn't be even explored. And so we still struggle with that debate today, whether or not some questions just should be left alone, whether or not some questions should not be even asked. As scientists, we think all questions should be asked, but there are consequences, and it's difficult to know the limits of what is it or is not acceptable.